This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. Phone-in elements of these shows are not available, but if you'd like to comment or give us feedback on our shows, you can tweet us at Love Sport Radio. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com. Alternatively, you can find this and other podcasts on iTunes or Spotify using the keyword Love Sport.
Good evening. You are listening to Love Sport Radio with me, Matt Beadle, with you for another half an hour. We've got half an hour to go of our Friday night fan show specials. It's been nothing but a pleasure being in your company this evening. And soon I will be in the company of Richard Cosmala from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Yes, we will be talking all things Huddersfield Town because it is the Huddersfield Town fan show here on Love Sport. Plenty coming up over the course of the next half an hour or so. Aaron Moy has moved on in a permanent deal to Brighton and Hove Albion. That was confirmed today. Of course, Moy initially signing on a season-long loan for the Seagulls, but that move has been made permanent for what we're led to believe is a rather meagre £5 million. In today's market, you'd have to say that Brighton have got a very good deal there indeed. Some other transfer news: Adama Diakabi has moved on. Now, we've spoken many a time about the dead wood in this Huddersfield Town team brought in by David Wagner, and that's good news, I suppose. A lot of Huddersfield fans probably happy with that one. He's moved on to Nottingham Forest to follow in the footsteps of Terence Kongolo, of course, who signed for Fulham as well last week. We're going to be looking ahead to the game against Hull, looking back on the draw with Brentford. Good result that, you'd have to say, all things considered. The Bees on a fine run of form in the Championship at the moment. On the line now, like I said, like I teased just a moment ago, Richard Cosmala from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Hello, Richard.
Now then, good evening. You all right?
Yeah, good, thank you, buddy. Aaron Moy, we had the Brighton Hove Albion fan show on earlier today. Josh Goldsmith from the Together podcast, he was buzzing about the fact that this was made permanent, this move, the season-long loan made permanent in January today. What's your view on this one? Difficult to take, of course. He was a big part of that promotion push a couple of seasons ago. £5 million, we're led to believe. That is peanuts.
Well, it depends if you know the background to the story, really. So Aaron Moy could have walked away to Huddersfield Town for free this summer. Aaron Moy, as soon as we relegated, clear that, you know, he's some Premier League quality player, so he was obviously going to get some suitors. So he, I think, started the season with us, but he signed a contract as a favour to Huddersfield Town.
Yep.
He signed a three-year contract. He was never going to play for us. It was pretty obvious that someone was going to take us off our arms in Brighton. So he has done us a favour. And I'm pretty sure, again, obviously I don't know inside of the dealings, but there's no way, I mean, because to the outside looking in, you think, wow, they, you know, 10, 15, 20 million. And some of our fans are kind of kicking and screaming. But Aaron Moy would not have signed a contract at Huddersfield if Huddersfield were going to demand silly money. So it was a good deal, really, for all parties, really. Huddersfield would have, if he'd run his contract down, you know, he would have walked away for nothing. He's obviously been there for 3 months, probably, you know, £1 million worth of wages saved then. And, you know, obviously £5 million has been touted about, but I've heard kind of from a good source it's a lot more than £5 million, but obviously not as much as many people would want. So, yeah, there's a bit of an inside track to the deal, really, in the fact that, yeah, he could have walked away for nothing. He signed the contract as a favour of the Huddersfield Town, which I think says everything about the guy. And honestly, I mean, some people have been saying, and probably me included, I don't think I've seen a better player in my time at Huddersfield Town supporter than Aaron Moy. He's been absolutely sensational, and he leaves with all our best wishes up here.
And that is why we have the fans on Love Sport, because you know a bit more, of course, you have that knowledge. And we did flirt that idea, to be fair, on the Brighton fan show. And I did suggest that there must have been some sort of agreement when he's, because we see that a lot these days, don't we? You see a player sign a new contract with a club and then instantly go on loan. Now, often in the case of a young player, it's clearly for development. But in this scenario, you thought, hang on a second, there must be something in that. And what I also think is great is that you have to give credit to both clubs here, because we see so much underhand tactics when it comes to transfers these days, be that with club officials, be that with agents, be that with players on some level. Yes, they can be mercenaries. Yes, they can be ruthless, because they have to be. But on this occasion, it's an agreement that's been done professionally with Moy, with Huddersfield and with Brighton. And like you say, all parties are happy.
100%. Obviously, in an ideal world, three years left in his contract, but it's just not everything like I've just explained there meets the eye. So, yeah, as soon as we were relegated, which was, kind of halfway through last season, really, Adam Moy, his talents deserve the Premier League stage, and his slow start to his Brighton career, but he's really hitting his straps now and showing everyone in Huddersfield what we already know, that class footballer as well. Not being replaced, it's very difficult to replace someone like him, obviously an international footballer as well. And yeah, it's money for Huddersfield that they probably wouldn't have got, and he's 29 years old, resaleable value, etc. So he's just thanks for the memories, really. I mean, the season we got promoted, he was absolutely sensational, scored a winner early on at Elland Road, which always go down well with Huddersfield fans. And from then on, he bossed the game. And I kind of put a tweet out today, but for me, I always think the best players, and I'm not comparing him to Messi and what have you, but the best players have that time, don't they? They don't waste energy. Adam Moy is one of those guys. He just knew where to be, was in the space. He didn't, he worked hard, don't get me wrong, but he never wasted. And you see a lot of guys at the moment run around, you see these heat maps. I think a lot of it's, managers and people want to see a lot of energy spent, but I just see a lot of it wasted. And Adam Moy was not one of those guys. And yeah, no surprises, he's doing well for Brighton. And hope he goes on strength to strength, but he'll be remembered as, one of the players of Huddersfield Town in many people's lifetime, because it would be late. And we got into the Premier League that first season. He was sensational, scored the goal winners' first home game in the Premier League against Newcastle, and on, really. A massive part of the reason why we stayed up that first season, and pretty well good he was in the relegation season as well. Won us a game at Wolves, and yeah, good luck to the guy.
Lovely stuff. Well said, Richard. And other transfer news that's come out, of course, is the fact that Adama Diakabi has gone on loan to Nottingham Forest until the end of the season. Something tells me that this is one you're quite happy about as well.
Random. Absolutely random. Obviously, there seems to be a bit of a history between Diakabi and the Forest manager. Is it Moussa? I can't remember his
Sabri,
name.
Sabri Limoussa, yeah.
Yeah. He's shown absolutely nothing, to be honest, in a Huddersfield Town shirt, and came for big money. So when we were kind of looking at the window, you're thinking, who's going to take him off his hands? But what a move for him, to be honest with you. I mean, obviously, Forest battling, you would probably say, for an automatic spot, never mind a playoff spot. And it's a great opportunity to kickstart a career that's never really got going in England. But yeah, I mean, most Town fans were cracking up in the champagne when he was leaving. But he's only left on loan. Obviously, he'll be on good money, wages saved. But again, it leaves us without a winger. And to me, that's just a missing piece in, what I would like to see before the window shuts in a couple of weeks or 10 days or whatever it is, because we definitely lack a winger. And I think they said after the last game, Danny Carlo was quoted as saying that we can not bring anyone in until someone goes out. And then obviously Diakabi went out this week. So fingers crossed we can get a winger in coming into the John Smith Stadium.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to be speaking a bit about transfers later. Ian Dunn joining us on the line as well in the second half of the show. But Richard, let's just look back to that draw with Brentford last weekend. Like I said at the top, Brentford on a very good run of form in the Championship. So while this was a third Championship game without victory, it was actually a point gained, I think you have to look at it. And Harry Toffolo making a debut. Emile Smith-Rowe we saw turn out as well. Richard Stearman too. In terms of those three, all put in pretty decent performances.
Yeah, definitely in their own way as well. Let's be honest, the game wasn't one for the purists. Huddersfield, I mean, obviously we've been on bad start. If you chuck in the cup game at Southampton, three successive defeats, and obviously we talked about the Barnsley performance being pretty dismal. So it was all about building a base. And I've got to be honest, I think Huddersfield wasn't part of the bus, but we just were very solid. We didn't have much ambition coming forward. Ironically, we had the game's best chance, maybe two chances. Callum Grant, again, who's forms a bit of a worry at the moment.
He should have put it away, shouldn't he? Should have put it away.
It was incredible, and we'd have probably, you know, run off with a 1-0 win when maybe did we deserve it. But yeah, so yeah, I mean, the new signing, Steeman, was fantastic. Bought at the man of match by the sponsor. The one thing that was noticeable from my point of view was the how vocal he was on the pitch. Very leadership quality, directing the traffic. It was great to see what we mentioned last week about, you know, needing a character in, and we saw it there as well. He looked like as well. He still had a yard of pace, which is always good to know, and very assured. He looks a really good signing. Obviously, everything they were telling us at Bramall Lane, the fans there as well. Neil Smith Rowe, second half, he kind of got going. He played in that hole where we were wanting Alex Pritchard to play. It's not really happened for him this season, but yeah, second half, he looked quite dangerous to me. We didn't give him the ball enough. I'm quite excited about what he could maybe do for us. Obviously, a top young prospect pulling the strings, and I think he'll have a decent impact for us as well. Hav Toffler was great. I mean, he was the latest one to join. I think he signed on Thursday. Apparently, he had one training session, but you'd think he'd been playing most of the season. Really good, really solid. So, yeah, all ticks in the box. And like you said, I think before the game, definitely we'd have took a point. And I think most people, like I said last week, would have had us down for a, you know, a defeat on the coupon. But yeah, Brentford hit the post at the end, but I felt that we more than deserved a point, and I think it's important just to stop the rot, really. The new guys did well. Andy King came on for a quarter of an hour at the end as well, just to complete the kind of the four in. So yeah, not one that we'll remember for many times. A few fans were grumbling out, you know, entertainment spectacle, it wasn't great, but I think most fans are willing to forgive that because of the nature of the opposition who were in real form the week before. So yeah, good point.
I think it also puts what Danny Cowley has in his locker into perspective as well. Of course, one at Griffin Park earlier on in the season, and he spoke after the game, didn't he, about the fact that you had to respect Brentford, and he talked about the fact that he changed the shape. You know, they made three changes to the back four, and he noticed the way that Brentford were playing earlier on in the first half. And Brentford, by the way, a very methodical side under Thomas Frank, a very decent side. We have the Brentford fan show on this station. They speak very openly about the way that Brentford play, and of course the BMW situation up front. Benrahma, Watkins and Mbwemi can cause all kinds of problems to opposition, but I think this goes to show that Danny Cowley is such a studier of the game, and has been a studier of the game before he got into the programme. And I think this is the new wave, the new style of coach that we're now starting to see. And for me, it shows real promise that Danny Cowley is manager of Huddersfield.
Definitely. And I think this has been kind of synonymous from his start with Huddersfield Town. The way he talks about the opposition in his pre-match press conference is so clear that it's not, because I think probably a lot of managers get these scouts to do their homework. Quite a few obviously go to games, but God, you know, a number of times you see Danny Cowley popping up at games, left, right and centre. He really does have such a strong knowledge of the opposition. And he'll often, where a lot of other managers kind of play their cards close to the chest, he will, in the pre-match press conferences, he will be prompted and he will kind of mention what other teams' formations are, who's been their best players. It's clear. I mean, I can imagine he's one of those managers who gets in the training office at 7 in the morning and leaves at 7 at night. And yeah, takes a lot of pride in his preparation, but it's key. And obviously Huddersfield have not got as many good players as Brentford, as the points, you know, difference between the sides show. So we've got to be organised and well prepared. And yeah, while it wasn't, you know, it wasn't a great spectacle to watch, it's good that, you know, the Cowleys, it's clear that we've got the right men in charge. It's as simple as that, really. And hopefully the entertainment will come probably more next season once he's got more of his guys in.
Let's hope so. And before we move on, Richard, just very quickly, we discussed that game against Barnsley a couple of weeks ago, and we mentioned that scrap at the end as handbags. Apparently the FA didn't see it that way. You were fined £5,000 for it. Absolutely absurd. Complete nonsense. But hey, £5,000. I suppose it could have been a lot worse. This is the Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Next up, we've got legend, club legend Ian Dunn coming on the line.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
The Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Me, Matt Beadle, joined by Richard Kuzmala of the Hand He Takes That Chance podcast. And joining us on the line now, we have Huddersfield Town royalty. Ian Dunn. But we're going to stop there. I'm not going to carry on, Ian. Sorry, I think I do that every time come on the show.
Carry on.
That's good.
Hey, guys, you all right?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, buddy. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Richard. Hi, Matt. Yeah, good, thank you. Good.
Hi, Pop.
Good stuff. Okay, well, Ian, as we've got you straight off the bat, I guess let's touch on 2020 thus far for Huddersfield. Not a win yet, but signs of improvement in that draw with Brentford.
Yeah, I think I went to the Middlesbrough game and there wasn't much in it, to be honest. But you could see signs of improvement from the last game I went to, which was the end of sort of last year. And you just feel that the Cowley brothers are working on the team, they're working on the players they've got. At that point, I mean, going back to Boxing Day now, at that point, they obviously needed new players to come in. 5 games down the line since then. And yeah, there's been some dodgy results in there, but I think that the feeling is around the place that the method they're getting across to the players, they're starting to get their own players in. I think it's just everything feels a little bit positive again for Town.
Agree with that, Richard?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Middlesbrough game, I thought it was disappointing from Huddersfield, but then a few days later we beat Blackburn, played really well. But yeah, I think it's a solid base to build on. The only thing I'd say to maybe Cowley to be a bit negative, Hull away and Fulham away, they're not the two of the teams you'd probably pick to try and get a springboard. But as we've seen this week in the Championship, you know, Forest and Reading drew, Charlton drew with Fulham. I watched the Charlton-Fulham game, there was nothing in it. So again, who's to say, even though the tables probably think, you know, home wins for Fulham and Hull in next week, but there's no reason why we can't go there and get a result.
It is a massive game coming up, really, isn't it, against Hull? Of course, the 3-0 victory, Ian, earlier on in the campaign. They're 2 defeats on the bounce. They've got Chelsea in the FA Cup this weekend, so they've got a game to contend with before then. So, I guess, potentially tied legs. We don't know how much they're going to change their side. We don't know the situation with Jarrod Bowen as well. Grant McCann has come out this week and said that they have offered Jarrod Bowen a new deal. If he doesn't accept it, they're going to have to sell him. No bids have come in for him yet. But you think that in this situation, Ian, is there unrest with the player? Is his mind potentially elsewhere?
Potentially. I mean, he's had a cracking season. And if he's got a sniff of a move to perceive a bigger club, it's no disrespect to Hull, but if he thinks there's something in the offering, it will be at the back of his mind. It will pray. I know that they'll come out and say, you know, they could be professional and they prepare and play the game as if they were, you know, committed, which I'm sure they are, but if there's something going on in the background, it could just take the edge off him, which, you know, would play into Huddersfield's hands.
Do you think, Richard, in terms of transfer business now for Huddersfield, that we're essentially done and dusted? I know that there are still outgoings. There's news, of course, looking closely at the Naki Wells situation. If he was to move on, I know there's a sell-on clause involved in that one. But in terms of incomings now, Carlon Grant, I suppose, is another name that potentially could perhaps be on the radar of certain clubs should they get to desperation time towards the end of January. But do you think now, in terms of incomings, Danny Cowley's pretty much done and dusted?
No, I think we need a winger, like I was saying earlier. I do, you know, he's quite laughable, really, because we spent, you know, much of 30-odd million on wingers, 3 wingers, Sobe, Diakabi and Benze. Obviously, one's gone to Forest, the other one more bothered about Instagram than getting on the pitch, and Sobe's in Egypt. But, yeah, I think we definitely need a winger, to be honest with you, because pretty much everything is going down the middle, unfortunately, because we've got nothing out wide, so I'd be surprised if it gets to January 31st and we've not got a winger in. I think there's one more bit of business to be done, personally.
Where would you like to see the club strengthen as well, Ian? Do you think winger is the answer?
I would agree. Out on the wing, I wonder if Grant needs some help up front as well. I know it's hard to get true quality in January, but the one thing Town needs are goals. You get a feeling that they could probably, you know, get their way out defensively. The Cowleys seem quite regimented in that. I know there's been a couple of games recently where they've let a sack full of goals in, but you just feel that the way out of it, people in the teams in the Championship seem to be falling over each other to lose. So if Town can just get some sort of form going and that needs a striker to maybe take the weight off Carlon Grant a little bit, I think that would be a real benefit as well. But I think Richard's right, a winger, attacking player, to try and dig some results out and get some goals on Town shot. But
there was one question I wanted to ask you, Ian, and more on, obviously, the Terence Congolo situation is well documented, and I was in part of the kind of a bit of corporate last week, and the chairman had come on and had pretty much called Congolo out. But obviously, you played in a team totally, I know they got it 25 years ago now, and Neil Warnock and you know, some real characters. But how much does it depress you that we've got guys, even at Huddersfield Town, no offence, not the, a Premier League team or like one of the top six, but guys basically getting paid don't want to play football. How depressing is that? And how difficult is it for morale, you know, when you're rocking up at the training ground and some of these guys have just no interest in playing? It's really sad, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. To be honest, first and foremost, Richard, I'm a football fan. But as an ex-player, I look at these lads, they don't know how privileged they are. Some of them don't know how lucky they are to be in a position to do something they're good at and to get paid for doing it. And it just beggars belief that if it's right, if the accusations are right, they just don't want to play. I cannot get my head around it. You should go into training, Crikey, under Warnock. If you did that, the game's obviously changed, Richard, in the time I've been out. But in our day, you burst a gut every day in training to try and get your name on that team sheet for the end of the week. And if you didn't get on the team sheet, you'd start again on the Monday morning. And it just feels to me that some of those players, particularly, because obviously I've got a keen eye on Town, some of the players, and you just look at them and you think, you don't know how lucky you are. You're getting paid a lot of good money, and you aren't putting a good shift in. And I think, to be fair to the Cowboys, they're rooting them out. They're getting the ones that have been the problem. They're getting them out of the club as quickly as they possibly can. But other teams aren't stupid either. These boys are on decent money. And if they're watching them, and you know, they're letting themselves down. If you know you don't want to play for a club, which I'm sure nowadays some of them do, their agents will be in their ear saying, listen, I can get you a move here, I can get you a move there. You still got to put a shift in because there's other clubs going to be looking at you. And if they see a bad egg, that's my fear for Town, that they couldn't get rid of these players. But somehow, they're slowly getting through them. And I hope the Cowleys get the time, I'm sure they will, to get rid of the ones that they know, they'll know by now who the bad eggs are, get rid of them and bring in some lads who are keen to play for Huddersfield Town and not sort of feel town, keen to play football and earn the money.
Surely, Ian, that creates a chasm in the dressing room where you've got players that clearly don't want to play and then you've got players, because there are players that definitely want to play for the club. Yes, you get different characters in the dressing room, but surely the lot who are fighting for the shirt, fighting for the badge, see these players and it causes a divide.
Yeah, of course it does. And it depends what you know, for example, Congolo, I don't know what he's like in the dressing room, but he's a big lad, he's come from Monaco. He's probably quite, I don't know, cocksure, be arrogant maybe. And if you got like the Jonathan Hogg there, he runs through a brick wall for the team, and in training as well. And he's seeing that. You would think they'd call them out, but it may not be as easy. That, you know, nowadays it's hard to call people out quite so harshly, and you just don't know what it's like. But I certainly know that if I was in the changing room and maybe I was not as talented as another player who sat next to me, but I'm working twice as hard as them, I'd be furious, to be honest. Absolutely furious. And that has got to cause problems. You've just got to hope there's the majority of them starting, you know, Cowley's getting them sorted out, and the majority of the players are there and putting a really good shift. Because you're right, the split would be unbelievable. If there's players that are clearly not trying and not putting the effort in, that's the one thing. You talk to a professional footballer who takes their job seriously, the one thing they despise the most is when someone's not putting the effort in.
Yeah, absolutely. And as fans as well, Richard, and Ian, you said yourself there, first and foremost, you are a football fan. And as you see it, Richard, when you watch these players not caring, and I often put the argument in that football actually doesn't have to be that complicated. If you are even lacking ability and the fans are getting in your back, just run around like a madman for 10 minutes. And then at least it shows that you're putting a bit of effort in and you get a bit of a respite from the fans because they can kind of see it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with you. That was probably me to a T, and I'm not, you know, I was all right, but I would like to think the Town fans knew that I would try my heart and soul for them, for them and for me and for the team. And, you know, I wasn't the best player in the world, but I blooming worked hard. And I think Town fans in particular, of all the clubs I played at York City as well, the fans really appreciate putting effort in. If you're not the best player in the world, you can get away with an awful lot with effort.
You've only got to look at Lewis O'Brien, who's coming this season after the season on loan at Bradford, and obviously has got more ability than just kind of running about, but just his effort is, I bet if you looked at his stats, his running and what have you, I bet he's, you know, up there every week, and the fans can get behind that. Even players like you say, that's not the most gifted, and it's just the basic minimum of, you know, give us everything you've got. And for the last 18 months to 20 months, we're getting there now, Ian, I agree, but we haven't had that. Everyone's giving the everything for the shirt, and it's like any office, yeah. not football. If not everyone's giving their all in an office or what have you, there's going to be friction, and it's obviously happened at Huddersfield.
Of course there is, and some of these boys are earning, you know, earning a good wage, and that is going to cause friction. Of course it is. But yeah, no, I think that I think you hit on it there, Richard. The absolute bare minimum you can do is work as hard as you possibly can, and then whatever comes after that. I always, my dad always would tell me that the best players in the world are usually the ones that work the hardest. And you look at the league, you look at the top, Liverpool, hardest working team in Europe, you know. Yeah. And all the good teams put effort in. They really work hard. You can see it in every single player, because if they don't, they're out. Simple as that.
They are,
and it counts in every good team. They all work hard.
Absolutely. Ian Dunn, thank you very much for joining us on the Huddersfield Town Fan Show here on Love Sport. Thoroughly appreciate you coming on. Richard Cusmalo, we appreciate you as always.
Pleasure. No problem.
You'll be back next week for the Huddersfield Town Fan Show. That was Richard there from the And He Takes That Chance podcast. Huddersfield travel to Hull on Tuesday. We'll give you all the reaction to that next week. Huddersfield Town Show, 10:30 on Love Sport, Friday night. We'll see you then.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.